Well, your mailbox is full. It is full of notes from the Apostle John, and we're working through those today. Please open your Bible to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. That will be our springboard verse into this message that I've entitled, Choices. Now, I don't know how they kind of came up with this, but researchers indicate that we make about 35,000 choices, decisions every day. If you got a little kid, that little kid makes about 3,000. And we actually make around 256 choices just regarding the food we're going to eat. And so all kind of choices that we make at all kind of times. Sometimes these choices we make without thinking. They're impulsive. They're rational. Compliant sometimes. We're trying to get along. Delegating stuff. Sometimes avoiding things. Sometimes balancing our life. Reflecting. Restore. So all kind of choices that we make every day, and I would say that most of them I would put in the category of small choices. Things like, what am I going to have for breakfast this morning? What am I going to wear to church today? Which route am I going to take driving in? Which parking lot am I going to grab? Will I take an umbrella to church today? Some choices are very inconsequential, they seem. We just make them naturally as we go through our life. And so there's a lot of small choices on the docket every day. Sometimes these small choices can have larger implications than we might think. Deciding which route you're going to take into Dallas could result in an hour and a half wait sometimes. So you got, even the small choices can have some consequences. And then there's those that I would call medium impact choices that we make. These would be kind of like, well, who are going to be my friends? Who am I going to hang out with? What are going to be some basic convictions that I'm going to have and my family's going to hold? Choices like, what kind of lifestyle are we going to seek? What kind of activities, hobbies am I going to have? What's going to be some of my moral convictions? So these are kind of medium spots. And then there's some big choices, large scale. The ones that have lasting impact for our whole life. I would remind you that Bear Bryant, great football coach at Alabama, said that just about every football game is determined on 4 to 6 plays. And whoever executes those 4 or 6 plays successfully is probably going to win the ball game. Well, your life and mine is really going to be set and determined by the choices we make on just a few really big issues that we face in our life. Some of these choices, who am I going to marry? Am I going to marry this person? Are we going to have kids? If we do, how many? If we have some, what are we going to name the kids? Where am I going to go to school? What kind of career am I going to have? Where am I going to live? Maybe there's this huge purchase. Am I going to make this gigantic purchase? Then kind of go out on a limb on that. Where am I going to go to church? Now, don't discount how important that one is. And I would just tell you, don't assume that because there's a building that has a name out front, that's really a valid New Testament Bible-believing church. Let me tell you, if you go to one, even though you may feel fuzzy about it, if it's not based in biblical truth, then your convictions are not going to be based in biblical truth, and that's going to impact the way you live and have huge implications for you and for your family. And so there's these big, big issues that we have to face, the choices that we make. Now, John has warned us already that there is a deceptive spirit loose in our world today. And you know that's true. There are people trying to deceive us about everything, about how to put our money here, put our time here. And he said that there are deceptive spirits in the spiritual world as well. So I would remind you, as we talk about choices, that first of all, you and I have an enemy. His name is Satan, and he is cunning, and he has some schemes. We know what his schemes are. The Bible tells us what they are, yet they're very successful. And his number one priority for every one of us is to prevent us from making a first-time commitment to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if you've never made that kind of commitment today, he's going to do everything he can in his power so that you would not make that kind of choice today. He'll tell you, hey, going to church is going to be fine. Just go to church some. You'll be all right. He'll tell you, try to live a good lifestyle. Do the best you can. You're going to be all right. He's going to say, don't go overboard with this kind of stuff. You're going to be all right. He's going to do everything He can to prevent you from making and nailing down a full commitment to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master. He's trying to deceive you and make you think your life will be fine without doing that. Once you give your life to Jesus Christ, His strategy changes. And now He wants you to make some choices that are bad choices that is going to push you with each choice further and further away from the Lord Jesus Christ and His purpose and will for your life. He'll want to substitute what is good for what is best. He'll want you to make subtle kind of choices, but He's trying to deceive you, and that's the warning that John has given, because there is a deceiver that is out in our world. Now, here's what we're going to do today, so that you'll know that I kind of have a goal in mind. I'm going to give you, and I've shared this with our church on different venues before, but it's very practical and it's very helpful, a four-point grid that you can run every choice through. And if you get a green light on all four of these, then you can with full confidence pull the trigger that this choice is a really good one. And then, after we work through those four, I'm going to show you in the Bible, in the life of Paul, where he actually used this four-point grid to make a gigantic choice. And I'm going to share with you how that has come to pass on a great choice that I made in my life back in the day that still has implications for me today. So that's where we're trying to go. Now, some prerequisites. First, if you're going to make good choices, you need to have a desire to be obedient to Jesus Christ. That needs to be first and foremost. Secondly, you need to have a desire to have purity. You want your choice, no shortcuts. You're not trying to take advantage of anybody else, no deceit involved in it. You just want to make the choice that honors Jesus Christ. And third, you just want to do what God wants. And so what I found a lot of people, after they've already made their choice, then they want to go back and get permission to do what they already decided. Or they say, God, show me what you want, then I'll decide if I want to do that or not. And so both of those get things backwards and will cause us to miss where God would have us to go. So days we live of fake news, all kind of little subtle things coming at us, the spirit of Antichrist trying to deceive us. Let's think today about making some really good choices. Of your 35,000 choices today, how many of them do you want to be good ones? All of them, that's right. One bad choice can do a lot of damage. And so, here we go. We're going to start with these 4 points. First one, you can be guided and directed by convictions within. 1 John 4:1, letter from John. Beloved, he said, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so what he's saying there is that sometimes we have these feelings, these thoughts, these desires, and they look to be okay, and it looks like that's what we would like to do, and that would be really great to do. But he said, be very careful, because there is a spirit of deception that is out there that can fool you and make you think something looks really good when in fact it's going to be a disaster. Test it. So how can we test it? Well, let me read you another one. Isaiah 30:21 says, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. And so we have, as a follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit living within us. And it's God in us. And so He is there to protect us. He is there to guide us. He is there to teach us. And so as we're living our life and we're having a choice to make and we start to go this way, and if the Holy Spirit says stop and checks us in the Spirit, the best thing we can do is stop, kind of straighten us back up. If we take that step and it's right, it's good, there's no check, then that is a good sign that we're making a good choice. Now, again, there's a warning that has to balance that out. Sometimes we can really want stuff, and we think it's going to be really good for us, but if we got it, it would actually be very bad for us. And I just thought of a story I didn't tell in the first two. Let me tell you real quick. It's kind of the guy that was giving a tour of a mental health place, and he went into the south wing, and there was a man that was in a padded room, and all he could say was, "Oh, Susie, oh, Susie, oh, Susie." And the guy said, "What's wrong with that guy?" And he said, well, he was engaged to a girl named Susie and wanted to marry her really bad, and at the last minute she jilted him and married his best friend. And he's been sitting in there saying that since she left him. So he continued his tour, went to another room, and there was another guy in a padded room. He's sitting in the corner, and he's saying, "Oh, Susie, oh, Susie, oh, Susie." He said, "What's the matter with that guy?" He said, "That's the guy Susie married." So you can really want something, and you think it's going to be fine, but it turns out not so fine. And so we do have the Spirit there to direct and guide us. Listen to John 7:17. He says, "If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority." And so if your desire is to say, "God, I am willing and obedient to do whatever you want as I'm stepping out and I have this choice, then I'm trusting that you're going to direct me and that guide me, and that if I'm beginning to take a false step, you'll correct that. If I'm taking the right step, it will have a sense of peace about it." And the way that I describe that is like a pair of shoes that you own, that you've broken in, they feel real good. You get up in the morning, you put them on, you don't have to think, "Well, are these really my shoes?" They just fit. They're good. They're comfortable. They're yours. And so when you're stepping into a decision that's right, that's God-centered, and it's the right one for you, you will get that sense of peace that this is right, this is good, this is exactly what God would have me to do. And then listen to Hebrews 5:14. He said, "But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." And so the longer that we follow Jesus Christ, and we begin to discern and learn what's good, what's not good, then we will develop this immediacy that it's just kind of a default. Our default is we follow how God is leading us with the choices that we make. We're never violating the Scripture with a choice. And the longer we walk with Jesus, the more discerning we become in this conviction within piece of this. So, we have convictions within, a discerning spirit, and part of that is the desire of our heart. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desire of your heart." Now, may I ask you a question? Is that not an incredible promise? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desire of your heart. And so as you're looking at this choice, you say, "This is a good-looking thing that I can do here. It's going to help satisfy the desire of my heart, and I really have a green light on doing this, and so I think I'm going to go ahead and do it." Well, if you do that, you got one green light, but you got three you don't know about yet. But let me tell you something, in case you hadn't noticed, our feelings and emotions can change. And what we think looks really good right now may not end up being so good after all. Now, one of the ways that I would share this with you, I came to Forney as pastor. I'm in my 25th year. And I'm going to be real honest with you for the next couple minutes. I'm trying to be honest with you all the time, but I'm going to kind of open the door in to me here for a second. When I was dealing with First Baptist Church Forney, I'm going to be honest with you, I did not want to come to this church. I was like, "Forney, where's that?" And I had higher dreams. I had higher aspirations. Higher goals. I may be revealing my black, nasty, old, bad heart to you, but I'm just being honest. But I knew God wanted us to come, so we came to First Baptist Forney. And about the first 2 or 3 years, I was doing everything I could to try to get out. Getting my name out to other churches and just doing the best I could to get out. And then I'm sitting in my office downtown one day, and this voice speaks. And the Lord really spoke, and He said, "Look, if you'd open your eyes, you would see that I'm granting you the desires of your heart right in front of your eyes." And so I just stopped, and I said, "Okay, Lord, let me just filter that a minute." Because from the very first Sunday that I came to this church, man, we had a spirit of revival rolling. We had some weeks when we were downtown where we had 150 to 200 people saved in a single week. How crazy is that? And the church was growing. We were doing our stuff. And it was like, you know, Lord, I guess you're right. And so at that point, I said, I'm in. And I stand before you right now absolutely amazed at what God has done. And He has been giving me the desire of my heart through the whole thing. It is an absolute astounding thing for me to be standing right now in this building preaching to this crowd. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable for me to conceive what God has in store for us in the future. It's God unfolding for me personally, giving me the desire of my heart. And then I think about the like 2,500 people that we have baptized in these 24 years. That is astounding, is it not? That is something that's worth saying praise God about. And so I'm just telling you, sometimes we want to make decisions and they're taking us away from where we want to go when God is the whole time giving us the desire of our heart and making it very clear. So the first one, help me out, remember, it is what? Convictions within. We have the Spirit living in us. He'll speak to us. He'll guide us. He'll tell us no. He'll tell us wait. He'll tell us hang in there. And so in a variety of ways, all the while, He is giving us the desire of our heart. So the second one then, circumstances without. That's the open door, the closed door. Revelation 3:8 says, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. So he says to this church, look, you're staying in obedience. And he says, what I'm doing for you is I am opening up a door. And when I open a door, nobody can shut it. And so as we're looking at this choice to make, the opportunity opens, the door is opened, we can go for it, and everything looks really good. Well, let me tell you, hang on. Because Satan can open up doors too. And sometimes the door may be open, but Satan's going to do everything he can to throw traps in there to make you think it's closed. There's got to be still this discerning spirit that is resting in there. And so doors open. And if you go through an open door without some of these other pieces intact, then what you may find is there's absolute disaster waiting on you on the other side. Now, if God closes a door and it shuts and it's shut and it's no pathway through, I'm just telling you, leave it alone. If you force the door open, there is a train wreck on the other side. Now, before we came to Forney, I had been dealing with another church. And it was a dream church. Had massive facilities. Had television ministry. Don't you think I'd be a good TV preacher? And send me money for a jet. Not a cheap jet. Had expansive influence over a huge region of our state. And man, they actually invited me to come and preach at the church. And then they were going to vote to call me as pastor. And so, man, that was it. And boy, stuff fell apart. Stuff started happening. And the door closed. And that might have been part of why I felt like I did coming to Forney. I was like I had that carrot dangled out there. And then I came to Forney. But you know what? They did call the pastor, that church did, and a year after he was there, the church had a gigantic fight and split. Today, it's under a fourth of the size that it was then. And First Baptist Forney has zipped right on past that. So had I forced the door and gotten there, my life trajectory would be changed dramatically. I didn't understand all that. But I sure am glad God kept the door shut and didn't let me push it open. So open doors come, opportunities come, doors shut. Don't let that mess you up. Because a shut door might be one of the biggest blessings God has ever brought into your life. Let me tell you a prayer that I have learned to make. It's one of the most effective. I've said, God, please do not let me make a mistake. Don't let me go through a door I shouldn't. Don't let me miss a door that's open. God, just don't let me make a mistake. And I found that God has been very good and very faithful in honoring and answering that kind of prayer. So, here we go. We got two. First one is, if you can't help me out, we're going to go a lot longer. Somebody got loud. Okay. Then the second one is, circumstances without. So, let's say you're in a scenario here. You got this great idea. It's going to satisfy something that you really want, and it feels right. And then there's the open door opportunity. Got two of the four. Well, that's great, but hang on, because you want to make certain you have no regrets. Third is counsel from the godly. Listen to Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. So what I mean by that is there are people in your life who know you, and they love you, and they know how you're gifted. They know your personality. They know what you're good at. They know where your weaknesses are. And so when you got this choice, this big choice in front of you, go to that group and share with them your heart. Tell them what you think, what you're feeling, what the opportunity is, and then ask them to pray about that, think about that, and get back with you on that and get some insight, because they may be able to see some stuff you can't. They may have insights you don't know about. They may have been on that path before. And they may give you a resounding yes, you go for it. They may say, man, you need to look at this and think about this a little bit. There's wisdom and abundance of counselors. Now, after the first service, I had a little thing today. It was awesome because it fits so good into the sermon. So walking back to the office area, and one of our men met me. And he is a guy, he's in his 70s, and his wife died some time ago. And I kind of noticed a little talking going on with him and one of our ladies. And I knew something was afoot. And so he said, Brother Jim, I'm going to ask you something. I said, what is it? He said, okay, you know, me and so-and-so, we're dating. And I'm looking at this fourth grid. And I said, oh, yeah? He said, yeah. He said, I got a green light on all but one. I said, which one? He said, counsel from the godly. What do you think? Should we get married? And I looked at him and I thought, dude, if I was you, I'd get married before the day is over. You don't have that much time. I didn't say that, but I thought it. And I said, hey, man, if I was you, I'd go for it. And because I know both of them, they'd be great for each other, and get them both out of my hair, maybe. And so getting counsel from the godly, getting somebody to give you some good words. Let me just emphasize, counsel from the godly. I know a lady that's having trouble with her husband, just like all of you ladies are. But this was getting to the point they were thinking about divorce, so she went and got counsel from the ladies that worked in her office. And all of them had been divorced before. And you know what all their counsel was? Throw him to the curb. I'm telling you, go to get counsel from the godly. I had a lady in one of my churches one time. Before the church, she was broken. She said, please pray for me. She said, I married the wrong man. Now, how is that? And she's still married to the dude. He's lost. He's out being the good old boy, whatever he was. And she's before a church saying, I married the wrong man. My life is miserable. She said, my pastor told me not to marry him. A lot of you people who are my friends said, don't marry him, but I did it anyway. So it's good to get some input from friends, counsel. Okay, we got three of them. Ready? First one is? Second one? Third one? All right, there's three. Get three green lights. Let me tell you the fourth one. And for me, the fourth one is the cap. And that is a confirmation of Scripture. And so as the Bible with the Holy Spirit in us and speak to us, feelings can change, circumstances can change, friends can change their mind, but the Bible, the Scripture, is not going to change forever. And so you get these green lights, you go to the Bible, you open it, you begin to read it, study it, say, God, speak. I want you to give me a word. I want you to show me some insight. I want you to confirm this. I want you to give me a warning sign. Just speak, and God will do that. Now, it may take a little while. It may take a little patience, but just keep digging, and God will eventually speak to that. Now, let me tell you about God's timing. For you to make a choice, God's not in a hurry. God is never late. He's never early. He's always right on time. So when the time is right to pull the trigger, He'll give you a confirmation. And He will let you know this is exactly what you need to do. And so if you go with a big choice, if you're going with a medium choice, even a little choice, remember, you're never going to be led to do anything that contradicts the Bible. So you feel really good about it. God's Spirit's giving you freedom. There's an open door. There's an opportunity to go for it. You've spoken to some godly people and they confirm, man, that sounds good for you. And God gives you a passage that backs that up. I want to tell you, you can pull the trigger on that, and no matter what happens in your circumstances, you'll know that you've done the right thing. So that then is the grid. Let me go to the Scripture and read to you a passage where the Apostle Paul used this grid to make a huge decision. Okay? This is in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. He's on the second missionary journey. They're trying to decide where to go with the gospel. Gigantic decision. How's the gospel going to spread through the whole world? Where do we need to go? And so it says, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there and urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so they're at this crossroads. Where are we going to go with the gospel? Now let's run that through this four-point grid. Let's talk about convictions within. Their conviction was, we want to take the gospel to people who've never heard it. Now that is an awesome conviction within. And so this Spirit of God speaking to them, don't want you to go over there. I don't want you to go over here. And so until they got clearance, they didn't really do anything. And so they're getting this conviction. Their motivation is good. They want to do right. And so they know they're on a good track. You talk about circumstances without, listen, in the Roman Empire, they could have gone anywhere in the known world. But there was only one path God wanted them to take, so they didn't take any till they got their confirmation. And then there's counsel from the godly. The passage said, we concluded that God had called us. Did you see that? So they had some powwows. They talked about it. They prayed about it. They decided together what was going on. And then the capstone was when they got a word from God. Now, they didn't have the Bible, so they got a revelation in this vision of a man saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And so you put all four together. They've got this desire to share the gospel within. That's what we're going to do. Open door. We can go anywhere we need to. We have this word from God, and we're all in agreement. Let's pull the trigger, and off they went. Now, the first town that they arrived at was Philippi. Philippi became one of the great churches in the New Testament. It's the church where Paul wrote the letter of Philippians to. It was an incredible supportive church for the Apostle Paul. And when they got to Philippi, they had some real great early success. And they ran into trouble. And Paul and Silas got arrested. And they got beaten badly. Then they were chained. And then they were put into prison. A hole in the ground. And so I can imagine about 11:30 p.m., Paul and Silas are looking at each other. They're bleeding. They're in stocks in a dirty underground prison. And they look at others and say, do you think we made the right choice in coming to Philippi? And they'd start thinking, well, you know, God gave us total freedom to come. It was wide open for us to come. We all together prayed and talked it through and decided unanimously this is where we need to go. And then remember, God spoke in the vision. So yeah, even though it's not real comfortable, we're in the right place. So they started singing. About midnight, guess who showed up? The earthquake came. And the earthquake knocked the chains off of them. How does an earthquake knock chains off somebody? It did. The door opened. They didn't leave. The jailer thought they did. He was going to kill himself for losing his prisoners. And they said, we haven't left. And he came in trembling and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Aren't you glad that question's in the Bible? It wouldn't even be in there had they not done the right choice. And he answered, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And the man believed. He was saved. And his whole household. And then this great stuff happened to Philippi. It was back when they made that really great choice because they had a green light and didn't move until they had a green light on all four. Now, let me move to a little bit in my life. We're going back to a real big choice that I made. My choice was to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ regarding my life being a preacher and a pastor. So that's a big choice, would you agree? That kind of set the trajectory for my life. And so from the inward conviction, there was no doubt in my mind at the time that that is what God really wanted me to do. In fact, I had known that for a long time, but some circumstances brought it to a head. And so I was fine on that. The circumstances without, well, I will tell you, it was wide open. School I could go to, opportunities to speak, opportunities to grow. I had really no hindrance to overcome except my own deficiencies and inabilities. Counsel from the godly, there were several on the day that I made it known that I was saying yes to that, who told me, we've known this all along. We've been praying for you. We've known this was going to happen. And so everybody that I talked with gave an affirmative, yes, this is exactly what you need to do. Well, I went off and did it, but I just had the three green lights. So I started pursuing that, going to school, getting in ministry, became pastor. And I will tell you that if I had 1,000 lives to live and God wanted me to do it, I would be a pastor, a preacher in every one of them. I do not at all badmouth this because it is a blessing for me to know I'm where God wants me to be. But there came some times when I was just kind of beat down and discouraged. And I said, God, am I really doing the right thing? Because my circumstances had changed. My want to had changed a little bit. And, you know, I didn't have that group of encouragers. And so I said, well, Lord, I need you to speak. So I began reading the Scripture. I didn't even know what I was doing at the time, but I was trying to get confirmation. Have you ever been reading the Bible and you're really looking for a word and there's a passage that's not in bold, but when you're reading it, it kind of jumps out at you in bold? Well, that's what this one did for me. And let me read it to you. It's in 1 Timothy 6:12-14. When I got here, it just jumped out. It said, fight the good fight of the faith. So there I was struggling. He said, don't give up. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And my mind went back to the day I stood before my home church and said, I'm surrendering to the ministry. And that was the largest attendance that church had ever had in its history up to that point. I made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So God is like telling me, you're doing the right thing. And then he goes on. I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when I read that, it was like God just spoke and said, get out of the pity party. You're exactly where I want you to be, doing exactly what I want you to do. The confirmation of Scripture sealed it. Now, let's fast forward to right now. There are times still when Satan throws some doubt. Do you need to keep doing this? Do you need this anymore? Is this what you want? I'll be honest with you, you hadn't lived till you get 400 or 500 people mad at you at the same time. So my feelings may not be so good. You know, circumstances, maybe not so great. But you want to know, I can go back to that passage of Scripture and it says the same dadgum thing every time. And so the deal is sealed. Man, it was a great choice. A good choice that I made. 4 green lights. And I never have to wonder if it was the right one. Well, let's close with a few thoughts. Your life right now is just a summation of all the choices you made over the course of your lifetime. And if your life is kind of full of bad choices that you make, then your life would be characterized as kind of bad. If your life has been characterized by good choices you made over the series of time, then right now your life is probably pretty good. But do you know this? One bad choice can have huge implications in a bad way for the rest of your life and for your family. Now, I don't think anybody wakes up one morning and says, okay, today I'm going to make a really bad choice and I'm going to mess up my witness. I'll mess up my family. Today I'm going to start the process of destroying my life. I don't think anybody does that. I think when you do that, you've been deceived into thinking that a bad choice was a good choice. But let me tell you this, and this is really great. One good choice can make up for a lot of bad ones. It can get you back on a good road. It can bring healing and purpose back into your life. A good choice. A good choice. And so, let's just run maybe what's in front of you. You know, have you ever had your computer go bad and you call the assistance people and you wait for an hour and a half and then you finally get a live person on the phone? You can't understand them. You ever been down that deal? It's like, can you speak? I'm speaking English. Please. And they will say this, unplug it. Wait 40 seconds. Plug it back in and turn it on. And you do that and it's like magic. Is that right? There's a name for that. It's called a reboot. 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 I've learned to reboot, man. Reboot's good. Because you get so much trash and junk in there, it locks it up, and you reboot, you start new. Well, I'll tell you, that's exactly what I think many of us may need to do today. Reboot our life. We get all the junk that's come in and all the stuff and maybe the choices that's piling up on us, and we just need to reboot. Well, think about it for a minute. We got 4 things. You've got convictions within. I wonder if there's anybody in here today that God is speaking to. You hear the little voice and it's saying what you need to do is give your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe that little voice is saying you do need to reboot your life. You need to re-engage. Maybe it's saying to you, you know, you need to make that recommitment. He may be saying, look, you've been messing around long enough. You need to go ahead and join a church and get plugged in. But you're hearing a voice. That's a conviction within. Circumstances without, you'll never have a wider door than to make that commitment to Jesus Christ than you'll have at this moment. The door is wide open. And then counsel. You could do a survey of everybody in here, and if your question was, do you think I need to get my life right with God today, you would get a unanimous yes. That's the counsel. Confirmation from Scripture. How about this one from Romans? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the day. Don't harden your hearts like they did in the past. Today is the day. Now is the time. And so I would just tell you, as God is speaking a word into your life today, I would encourage you, go for it. Reboot it. Make a first-time commitment. Come on and join our church. Step into that. Man, God says do it. Now, maybe you're facing another big choice. Maybe, should I change career? Should we have another kid? Should we move? Should we buy another house? Should we buy that Maserati? Yes, let the pastor use it some. Should this happen? Should that? I would encourage you to take a step back, deep breath, run it through the grid, and that choice will be a really good one. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing one last song. It's time of praise, time of invitation. And while we're singing it, we'll have staff here. You'll make your way forward, making that great choice. Then we'll help you confirm that, and it will be an awesome day. Now, before we begin to sing, help me with the 4 points again. The first one, be guided by convictions within and by circumstances without, and by counsel from the godly, and finally, confirmation of the Scripture. For you to make that commitment to Jesus Christ today, you got a green light on every one of them. Don't miss it. Don't miss the opportunity. Staff's right here to help you. Let's worship, and may God bless you as you say yes to Jesus Christ.